Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. Thanks for joining back. Let's go ahead and pick right up as we leave the clubhouse and we enter the back nine of our 18 holes, 18 questions.
Now, we're about halfway, nine holes in. Greg, I have a quick one, then not a side question.
No, it's mine, isn't it?
I know. This isn't one of my nine holes, but why is it called 18 holes? Why do we only play 18 holes? Do you know that answer?
I don't know. The Scots figured it was going to be like the gopher. Like the best version of how golf was created was made by Robin Williams.
Yes.
Rest in peace. But basically, yeah. And he'd be like, we just do this one time. We're going to do it 18 times.
So St. Andrews was actually originated as 20 holes, but that's not necessarily how it was cut back for many different reasons. They actually played multiple holes multiple times. But anyway, it takes 18 shots to finish a bottle of whiskey. So taking one shot per hole gives you 18 holes. That is the best maybe qualified answer that I could find.
I'm going to use a kingpin terminology where Ish was saying he was averaging about 250, and he goes, "I'm Amish. I do everything 1.5 times. So instead of 10 frames, we do 15 frames.
15.
And therefore, Roy Munson was really disappointed in that.
Is it Roy Munson that walked in and said there's just so many quality athletes in this room? I think Anthony turned us on to that one. That is,
yes.
That's
Kingpin is one of the best underrated movies ever.
That is a good one. That is a good one. So
I don't puke when I drink. Puke when I don't.
Oh, that's a good one. There's so many one-liners in that one. All right. So yeah, back to you. I sorry to interrupt there.
All right. We'll go a little off the wall. Have everybody visualize you for a minute. What's your perfect golf outfit?
Perfect golf outfit.
Perfect golf outfit.
Brand and all?
Yep. Brand, color, fit, everything. We can even go down to the socks if you want.
Down to the socks. Socks are just your regular old socks. I'm not sure if I can get into the socks thing.
When Courtney bought at Costco that week.
Yeah. No, I think I actually ordered these. The Costco ones slid under and cut the back of my leg, my Achilles.
It's not fun.
I was playing 12, 13, 14 years ago, I was a big Ian Poulter fan as far as the plaid pants.
Oh, okay.
And I rocked a lot of plaid pants. I actually would go to Goodwill and try to find just pants straight out of the 70s and wear them on the golf course. I have played a couple golf tournaments in plaid pants. I have won a closest to the pin in plaid pants. And thank God I had them on because I looked really cool. Getting my award, but I don't know. I'm pretty traditional now, not very much flash. I've tried to add in some all over print type things. Pretty standard. I actually enjoy wearing pants to golf. And when it's got that little bit of a cool temperature,
you usually have to wear pants.
Me?
Well, you can't just show up butt naked, bud.
But I'm saying pants over shorts.
Yes, I got you.
I'd rather have the pants on and be a little bit on the warmer side, but I don't know. That's a tough one. I would like to stick to, if I had to go.
Do you have a favorite color that you like to wear?
I'm a navy blue guy, and I know you're not.
Navy blue, yeah.
I'm a navy blue guy. I did transition to black for a long time. I don't know, maybe because of where I worked, I wore black pretty much every day for 7 years.
Black is very slimming.
And then now I wear black again, but now I'm more black and gray opposed to the black and gold.
Like it.
And so I guess black and gray now type thing. I do the pullover hoodies. It is something I enjoy wearing. I think it just brings out, to me, it's more of that athletic looking look on the golf course. I also like the collarless t-shirts opposed to the collar type stuff.
Blade polo.
And then if you could throw some camo in there, I don't mind camo. You tend to like making remarks about my camo shirts.
I can hardly ever see you on the course.
Yeah, they're not negative remarks. They're just your remarks. Maybe some gray slacks.
Sure, snapback hat.
I used to be a big fitted guy. Now I don't really matter.
You were a ball player. Yeah,
I was a ball player. Yeah, I like the fitted hat. Now I don't really matter. I like our Fairway Fit hats. I can't say I love them. I do like them. I wear them all the time. Most of the hats are more snapback now that I own, just because everything seems to be flexi fit where you don't have to order a true size anymore. But if I had my dream outfit, I would say my FootJoy shoes, traditional look, saddlebacks, maybe some gray pants, my blue camo shirt, which you might see tomorrow. You might not see tomorrow. It depends how I feel.
Fair enough.
White belt, white hat. I know we were on different time zones, but I wouldn't sit you that stuff that I had on in when I was at my last European trip. I actually felt like a pro golfer at times.
You were rocking some of my old gear.
I was able to fit in it. And I literally called you, dude, I have nothing to wear. I've lost so much weight and I don't have money. Can you do that anything? And you were able to, I think you threw me about four or five shirts.
If I remember correctly, a couple of weeks ago, you were talking that you were getting away from the white belt and you were going knit. Belts that were colored now.
I do have the knit belts that are colored. But I think when it comes down traditionally wise, I like the white. I still think white, to me, white belt means golf.
White's clean.
It's golf. And it's golf. Now, when I see a guy have a white belt on at the bar, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Did you just get done with a round?
How many times have you done that with me? Because I definitely have a white belt.
I don't know. You don't stick your shirt in, so I never see
your belt. I'm not a stuck guy.
Yeah, you're untraditional.
I have gone untraditional just because I feel like I'm more comfortable in the golf course. I feel if I tuck my shirt in, I'm looking like I'm trying too hard. And really, I'm not a good enough golfer to look like I tried too hard.
See, I'm going to disagree with that. When you start believing you're good enough, you start being good enough. So I think tomorrow, well, we'll talk about tomorrow.
Or I could be that guy that shows up in a t-shirt and shoots 72.
I do. There is this one guy on Instagram that's from Southwest Virginia that wears jean shorts and has a cutoff all the time.
Shorts? I like shorts.
And he bombs it and he seems to hit it pretty well. I just seen a couple of videos on him. Might be my idol. Might be my new idol.
Boots, cutoff sleeve shirt. Basically, you might be a redneck if, and then perfectly fine.
So, all right, back to me, right? Back to mine. All right. Favorite postseason meal / drink?
Postseason or post-round?
Post-round. My bad. I'm way off on that. Post-round.
I'm going to say post-round meal it's a tie between a bacon cheeseburger with pepper jack cheese. No cheddar. Pepper jack cheese.
American. I live in America.
Got to get a little spice, a little kick in there.
Still American.
With french fries or
tater tots?
Depends. If I am a tots over fries guy, if tots are available, heck yes. But
I think I'm on a tots kick right now, so I'd have to choose tots over fries.
Tots are good. If tots are available, I'm taking tots. But 90% of places only have fries. Say burger and a potato of some sort. Fries.
Okay, I'm with
or
you.
Tots.
I'm with you there. Napoleon Dynamite.
But I'm also a big wings guy. I don't know why. I don't know if I like just like eating with my hands and licking my fingers and having the however many chemicals have been on the green and been in my hand from handling balls all day, basically to the point where I'm putting them in my mouth. I do like hot wings are my number one go-to food. So if they have hot wings, usually I'm probably going with those.
Okay.
And then drink of choice, just another beer.
Bud Light. Now, you can get the Bud Light Lime, but that's with Anthony because he refuses to have any sort of fruit in his beverage.
Sure.
He is just the Bud Light. Now, I've gone away from the Bud Light, but that's to be a whole nother podcast in its own.
Not bad. The cheeseburger, the wings, definitely not a bad thing. I don't know. I'm a wrap guy. I like a lot of wraps.
Burritos, buffalo chicken wrap? That's pretty good.
Yeah, just some places have a really good quesadilla.
Yeah, that's not bad. I still remember, where were we? Down at King's Mill, and they had the cheeseburgers and
they were half off.
Was it Jim that ordered two?
Because he's carnivore.
Carnivore and
no bun.
No paleo. What is it?
Yeah, he's carnivore.
Carnivore. And he was like, was it easier to order an extra burger or just order two. And the lady looked at her like, yeah, just order two. It's half off. But yeah, so that was a good cheeseburger.
Delicious.
I think you had one the next day. I don't know
I had two. I had one for dinner on one night, and then I had it for lunch the next day.
Yeah. I enjoy Kingsmill. You'll have to get a burger when you go back down there coming up here. Very shortly.
Oh, I probably will.
So, all right, on to you.
All right. Best shot you have ever had. Doesn't have to be like closest you've gotten to a hole in one, but just maybe it was in trouble. I had one tiny little gap to hit and I hit it. Like, best shot you've ever hit in your life, you think?
I don't have any hole in ones.
What?
I really don't think I have any that are that close. I have hit pin sticks or flags before, but I don't think they were like hunting the bottom portion of the pin. I remember playing in a tournament with you, with a buddy of ours from Freedom. No, maybe not. Maybe with Anthony. Well, I know we talk about Anthony a lot, but with Anthony. And we were in Fauquier because we all drove there. Oh my gosh, this is in the middle of nowhere. And I remember stepping up and hitting a closest to the pin. And I was like, hey, I'm going to hit this about 10 yards. Nah, maybe about 5 yards left and let it trickle back to the pin. I ended up hitting it to about 18 inches. I would say under the pressure, that was one of my best shots. More the mere fact is the guys behind us made comments that we were listening to Tupac as we hit the shot.
Tupac is one of the greatest rappers of all time.
100%. Don't disagree.
He's a poet.
Don't disagree. And I'm not in that hip-hop world, but I will listen to it, and I listen to the good stuff, and he is one. But do you remember that? I want to say we were playing for one of our old coaches that ended up actually passing away.
Yes.
Rest in peace to him. But I think I remember it more for the fact that they came up and they joked about what we were listening to, and then I hit the shot. Somebody hit one that was very similar, and it maybe bounced the wrong way, maybe hit closer to the flag, it rolled away, but I played it just right. And hey, I run a really nice Cleveland wedge because
you did suit, and I went right at the pin, but I went long and it bounced forward rather than sucking it back.
Yeah.
I was over the back of the green on that one.
So
I do remember that one.
I've had some.
We were in Prince William County.
Prince William County. I said, fuck you. We're Prince William County. Yes, you're right. I've had some kind of recovery shots. I would say some of the hardest shots, most rewarding shots, is when you hit that 3-wood on a par 5 and you get something close. Because I just think hitting greens with 3-woods for us at our level is very difficult. But I couldn't hone into one. And like I said, I think I remember that more because of the music that was playing, opposed to the actual result. Now I did win a wedge, obviously.
We were probably listening to Ghetto Gospel, one of the Tupac songs. He actually released it after his death.
And I think we changed
his hand on my brain when I write rhymes, like over rhymes.
We changed it like just for that hole and said we need to mix it up.
Oh,
and that's what we went to and got a nice little Cleveland wedge, RTX zip core wedge. From it, played it for quite some time. I did end up selling it. That's a mute point, right?
It's all good.
All right. Back to me?
Yes, sir.
All right. So those have been following us, listening to us. I think it's been talked about a couple of times, maybe not too much, but my good buddy Greg refuses to wear it pretty much anything but the brand Nike. And if he had a choice, I don't have to ask him what he would use, what he would wear, Under Armour or Nike or Adidas or Nike or Reebok or Nike, whatever's out there. I know the answer is Nike, but enlighten us on why Nike opposed to everything else that's out there.
Dude, you grew up at the same time frame as I did. What was thrown in our face from the beginning of time?
Penny Hardaway and the Reebok pumps.
No. Did I have a pair of answers for Allen Iverson? Yes. Did I wear a pair of Reebok like basketball sneakers in seventh grade? Obviously, yes. The Reebok answers. Have I had like Converse shoes, yes. But Converse is now owned by Nike, by the way.
When Chuck Taylors came out with the version 2, I wore those.
Chuck Taylors now, you can buy Chuck Taylors without the, how like uncomfortable the sole was in there. You can get a Nike Lunarian sole in it for about $15 extra. I have a pair of them. Greatest shoes ever. It's casual, looks good with everything.
What kind of sole was that?
Nike Lunarian sole.
See, I mean, just that you know that, you're proving my point of answering that question.
Really, it was just, I don't know. I fell victim to their marketing ploys. The Just Do It. Like, the everything was athletic. It was Jordan. It was Tiger. It was basically every big name superstar athlete was with Bo Jackson. Like, you had every single big name, big market athlete that was sponsored by Nike. You look at like even tennis. Andre Agassi back in the day had his own Nike shoe that was made, and he's remaking it now. New age stuff. You got Travis Scott making Nikes. You got freaking Kanye had Nikes before he went off the beaten path and went to Adidas. It was just one of those things where that's really, I was a poor kid growing up and I would get a pair of Nikes once a year. And when I came to be not wealthy, but came to have some income.
That means to buy your own stuff. Yeah, I got you.
I'm an outlet mall shopper. So yes, like most of my stuff that I have is outlet mall and whatnot. But yeah, like anybody that knows me knows that I'm a Nike guy through and through. And Nike, if you're out there, if you happen to come across this podcast and you want to sponsor me, like by all means, just send that paperwork. I'll sign it.
I'll be honest. I started working pretty much with you almost 10 years ago now, but we knew each other beforehand, probably for about 3 or 4 years before that even started. And I never really was a brand guy at all. I wore basically whatever I had. And then getting to know you, being around you a little bit more, I was very big when I ran my athletic department that you had there. You don't want to have everything. You're really big on one logo. And I joke about this because we could go into a whole nother episode about the amount of arguments we had about my logos, but you had 2 or 3 logos every school has. Michigan has certain logos. Carolina has certain logos. You don't deviate away from them. Your identity is through your logo, not through your sport. And when you did that, it caught on to me is we need to be a one brand heavy type school. And I would say that is something that addicted to me too. But I would say when it comes down to it, because I've tried to deviate away, it's the shoes with it that bring me back. It's just the quality of shoes.
It's got to be the shoes.
It's got to be the shoes. And I'm not a big guy. If you have Nike on, you shouldn't have another big brand on. If you have an off-brand on, no big deal. No one really cares.
Off-brand, that's fine. But and even if... you can't wear Nike with Adidas socks and Under Armour and a Dick's Sporting Goods shirt.
Yeah. The Dick's Sporting Goods shirt, actually, that's true. I wouldn't. Yeah, it's right. The Adidas and it's the Under Armour. And I've tried to actually, remember when I left working with you, I tried to get away from that in my own sense of chasing to figure out who I was. I went Under Armour and I even bought their shoes, but I couldn't do it with the shoes.
So, you did like those shoes for a little bit.
I liked them in the sense of what they offered at that moment and who was behind those shoes. But what came down to it, it's all the shoes for me. Again, you said it right. If Nike is listening to us, help us out any way you would like. We would love to rep all of your stuff.
I would get a Nike check mark tattooed on me so quick.
In the cheek.
Just like they are on all the shirts. Like, just make me a brand. I would rock that. That would be nice. I would actually do that. I might be willing to throw that on for next season if I lose all majors again.
I'll keep that one in mind. But yeah, I think in the long run, I do sway that direction. And even my kids have even joked with people of wearing the multiple brands. The big one we get is not necessarily multiple brands. I think the other day, my oldest came home and said, "You won't believe this student teacher we had." Obviously, I'm a Hokie through and through. My wife is bought into being part of a Hokie family. And this student teacher had a Hokie shirt on with UVA shorts. And my 12-year-old daughter went up to him and said, "You must be really confused at home." And he had no idea what she was talking about, but I knew exactly what that meant, and it's comical. But yeah, like I said, if Nike's listening to, man, shout us out. We will definitely keep you in that golf world. You may have lost Tiger, but you could have fairway fit.
Exactly. So, all right, I got a this or that, all right? And it's very interesting. So, you finish the worst round of golf you've ever played, but in said round, you had a hole in one, all right? Oh, or you play the best round that you've ever played, but you double bogey 18.
Which one would I rather have?
Yep.
Best round I ever played, double bogey 18.
Really?
Yeah.
You're constantly going to think that basically you could have had even better.
I could have, but it's the best I've ever had. So it's the best I've ever had. That hole in one, I will talk about that hole in one until I die.
Exactly.
But I won't talk about the other 17 holes.
Who cares?
But that's what I'm saying. So, but I would rather have saying I shot that 68 or 69 or 70, whatever. If we're getting down that low, yeah, the hole in one trend is awesome. I hope I have one in my day. I know between the two of us, we don't have one. My brother has one. I think that might be the closest that maybe we know. I know a ton of people that have had them, but I would rather have that low round now. I think, especially making our commitment this year,
Rex had a hole in one and then tried to tee off on the next hole
with the same ball. Yes. It wasn't that long ago.
That was last summer.
Yes. No, I did. I remember talking to him about that, actually.
See, I don't know. I think that nobody cares what you shot once. They care more so be like, "Oh, you had a hole in one? Let me hear the story." Nobody's going to want to hear the story of your 62. So the story of your hole in one.
Let's circle that question. Would you rather have a one under par round or a hole in one? You, right now, where you are in your golf, you go out tomorrow and shoot a 71, or would you rather go out tomorrow, have a hole in one, and shoot a 92?
I'll rebuttal with a question. Are you paying for my drinks? Is it just me and you in the group, or do I have to pay for other people's drinks?
You're paying for my drinks.
That's what I mean. Is it just me and you in the group?
Me and you.
Then yes, we're going out and we're getting plastered. I'm having a hole in one, and I don't care. I'll go 0-6 in majors.
But I think I would be more proud of the 71.
I know, but if I shouted out to my friends that I had a 71, what?
They wouldn't believe you.
Yeah, one of our followers would be like, "Good job." The rest of them would be like, "BS, you're lying. Didn't happen." All right. If I said I had a hole in one, they'd be like, "Oh, if blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while." And they would be like, "Oh, tell me about it. Would you hit? What hole was it? What was the distance?" And I'd be like, "Oh, I was playing the ladies' tees. It was 105 yards and it happened to just fall in."
So what I'm getting out of this question is that from here on out, we need to fill every par three that we play.
Sounds like an idea.
Let's
do it. I mean, the last parts you filmed ended badly for me, but whatever, we'll do it.
Oh, it did. We'll have to do that tomorrow. So, speaking of hole in ones. All right, my question involves a hole in one.
Okay.
Would you rather have a hole in one on one of these four holes? TPC Sawgrass, number 17. Pebble Beach, number 7. Augusta, number 12. Or TPC Scottsdale, number 16.
Ooh. Is there a crowd?
Is there a crowd? We are not on PGA Tour.
Okay, then I'm going to go
Sawgrass. What's funny is you say that, and I was listening to a podcast maybe a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about how he plays like he's a member at Scottsdale. And he says, it's really only fun to play that course when the grandstands are there. Even though there's no crowd,
I will say, one of our buddies that goes on old man golf trips a lot, he basically went out there with his pops and they got to play it with the grandstands there. And he said it was pretty awesome.
But without the grandstands,
without the grandstands, without the fans or anything like that, one, I know I'm never going to play on Augusta. So obvious choice is going to be Sawgrass.
Okay. Pebble's a public course.
Yes, but at the same time, everybody makes hole-in-ones of that Pebble one.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Professionals do.
We're right there.
Sawgrass is probably, I don't know, we'd have to look up some stats, but I'm not going to do that right now. But I would say that probably there's been more hole-in-ones on Pebble than there has been on Sawgrass.
Well, one thing about our show is we don't really do fact-checking.
That's me throwing it out there.
So you would take TPC Sawgrass. Now, I think I would do Augusta just because it means I get to play Augusta. Because that is probably the dream course of mine. But I know for my little guy, he is in love with TPC Sawgrass. Again, don't know why. We may have watched a show about TPC Sawgrass one time, but he's in love with that. So I think I'm be with you, and we're going to have to make a trip. It's just plain and simple. It's about $1,000 a round right now is what I've heard. So
that's chump change.
We might need to get a couple more listeners. So if you're out there... please share with as many friends as possible. Like us, subscribe.
And maybe I just start a Fairway Fit OnlyFans.
Interesting. I'm not sure. Golf shoes, maybe? Golf shoe pictures?
Feet pictures.
Barefoot golfing.
Exactly. Barefoot OnlyFans.
Right. We are after hours here on Fairway Fit. Thank you for joining us.
Exactly. All right. My last two are more like golf round related, but describe the most interesting person you've ever met on a golf course.
Interesting person I've ever met on the golf course.
Huh.
Man, these are good ones. I wish I had some prompts on these beforehand. I think me, Greg, I'm an introvert. So even
that is true.
When I play with that random, it's more or less casual talk than it is the nitty gritty type talk. Yeah. And I don't know if I have a very good answer for this one. I want to let you down a little bit here. Most interesting person. I played with plenty of people that were pretty full of themselves. But when it comes down to it, I couldn't even tell you their names. I'll remember who they were. I play with a lot of people that tend to tell me how much money they make.
Who's the richest person you played with?
Richest person I played with?
I don't know. Some guy, maybe, I don't know, owns 17 companies or 46 In-N-Out restaurants or something like that.
I would say the most interesting person I've had on my round, and I forgive me because this was 15, 16 years ago, and I'm going to pull back up to the old course. The caddies that we had probably told us the most incredible stories about St. Andrews and different things that they've seen in golf. It was like a whole nother evening inside a golf round of this listening to stories, which were a lot of fun. So I would say those guys, shout out to them again, 15, 16 years ago. I don't quite remember those names. They took my tip very easily because it was not cheap to, one, pay for a caddy. Then you basically tipped them what you paid. But I did play with caddy. For my dad, this past time that we talked to him about who was his most interesting person he's ever caddied for. And he said about a week before he caddied for us, he caddied for Dwayne Wade from the NBA. And he said he's actually a pretty good stick, really good guy, which honestly I don't know too much about him outside of how good of a basketball player he was. So that was fun to listen to him. The caddy had a PhD at his school, his university out there, because they just call all universities, but he did not want to do anything but open a bar.
That's pretty cool.
His dream was to open a pub. Obviously, it wasn't a bar. It was a pub, but he caddied just for fun and caddied about two rounds a day. He said the cheapest people on the planet are pro golfers that play in the Dunhill Links, because that is also at King's Barnes where we were. He said, those guys are super cheap. They barely tip well enough. He goes, I probably will make more today with you all than I would in a round with a pro golfer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which caught my, I thought it was all like how much you made that weekend is how much the caddy made, but maybe I was wrong. I don't know, but dude had some great stories. Smart as all could be. You could tell he was intelligent, but he just wanted to run a pup.
I just love it.
I was like, dude, you are like right up my alley.
You and I too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to get out of what I do now. But yeah, I put you down on that one. I don't really.
Solid answer. Individual. Solid answer. You saved it.
So I'm going to stick with the golf theme since we are winding things down. If you had the opportunity, if we were contacted by every golf company you could think of, minus the Nike apparel, because Mikey's out of the golf equipment game, what brand of golf would you play and why?
Whatever I hit straight, consistently the same distance, and can work whatever way I want to.
Yeah, but they're going to make you do that. You got to remember now, they're paying for you. They're giving you whatever you want, services. You can make him Wilson.
I would have to tailor-made. Like, that's a tough ended question, because I would have to improve my golf game in order to swing tall-less clubs.
You wouldn't have to.
I would find what fits you. I'm not going to be swinging.
Yeah,
it doesn't make a lot of muscle back clubs or game improvement clubs, if
yes,
you will.
Yes, they do. T200s, T300s, 350s, or whatever they are.
True. But I would probably say.
All right, hold on.
Before
you answer, let me twist my question. Not only is it the brand, but you can't play another brand.
I'd probably have to go with Titleist then, because they encompass everything.
They encompass it. All right. So take the, and I'm going to go, I'm guessing what you're going with. Take the ball out of play. Then who would it be?
I would probably still say Titleist just because I really like their wedges. And obviously I could get fit and sit there in a bay for days on end in order to get fitted for driver, 3-wood, irons, etc., in order to basically fit my swing.
Yeah, you're a man after my heart, because obviously you know what I was going to say too. I thought you would bring in Titleist because of TPI.
Yeah, that too. You got the TPI certified people training you and whatnot. I'm sure that they would probably have a field day with me with some of my movements, but at the same time.
Just the fitness aspect of training for golf. I thought you would have a field day with that.
And oh, yeah.
I'm good. We're right on the same page. Again, just like Nike, we'll wear your stuff. Titleist, I'll wear Foot Julie every day of the week, but Titleist, if you're listening, shout out to us. We are huge components of what you have to offer and what you can bring and help us.
I spend a lot of money on your balls, and I lose them right after.
I did today. I actually did today, believe it or not. So,
all right. So, last question: what's something small that annoys you the most during the round?
Something small that annoys
something that like a playing partner or a random group that is with you, like that you're playing with. What is like your little ick moment when you're playing?
Man, you're going to make me sound like a giant a-hole here.
Not at all.
All right. So I actually have a person that would vouch for me on this, because when I explained it to him, he 100% understood where my frustration is at times. Okay. I have been very fortunate in the last couple of years that when I play with a random foursome or with a group of buddies, that maybe not that day, but majority of the time, I am one of the better players of the four. And what happens when sometimes they assume things in my golf game that are not necessarily true, meaning they think I'm going to be able to find my golf ball every day of the week when I hit it out there. And that, and you've played with me long enough, that's not necessarily the case. But when I'm playing really well, I have no problem helping people out. I really don't care what other people shoot unless it's we're playing for money. If we're playing for money, that's a whole different story. But I don't care. And I will help you out. I will help find your ball. I have no problem getting in the nitty gritty for the most part. I don't like ticks. It's the one thing I don't really like. Don't like snakes either, but we've been fortunate up here. I have no problem helping out. I could help you out for 9 or 10 holes. And then when I start hitting one wayward, or I have a whole 2-3 hole stretch where I'm struggling, most of the time it seems like I'm on an island trying to find my stuff, because they're like, oh, you should just be able to find where it is because you know exactly where it goes all the time, which is 1000% not the case. And you've been with me.
They just say good luck all in.
Somewhat. But you've been with me when it has frustrated me. And I would say that's the pet peeve, is that maybe some people think that I'm better than I am, and I'm really not. I'm not that good. I hit just as many wayward shots as a lot of people. Sometimes I find them, sometimes I don't. But it tends to be sometimes lopsided on who helps find golf balls, shots, different types of things than it is the other way. And again, probably sound like a giant a-hole right now, but that is frustrating. I explained it to one of my buddies one time and he goes, yeah, you're 100% right. He goes, I never even look where you hit the ball because I just assumed that you're okay finding your ball. And I'm like, yeah, that is so not the case. And I'm pretty,
most of the time I'm just like, go right, go right, go right,
and,
go right.
And I'm pretty competitive, and that probably hurts me to some degree on the golf course and doesn't help. That's pretty annoying to me. And I can't say you're that guy 100%. I'm not going to sit here and say that because we play so much golf together. I'm not going to sit here and say you're that guy or you've done that to me in the past. But there are times when you're playing with people and you're like, oh, yeah, I'll help you out. I'll help you out. I'll help you out. And you're playing well. And then all of a sudden you're not playing well. And that guy stands in the middle of the fairway over his ball where you're looking for your golf ball. And it's, you don't hit a bad shot, but it's a shot that's hard to find type thing. Maybe it rolls out. But yeah, I hope I don't sound too much like an angel to our listeners, but
do unto others as you would want done on your,
it gets pretty frustrating, but yeah, that would be it. What drives you nuts? Just to finish this off.
People that tell me what they're going to do right before they do it and talk themselves. No, I'm kidding.
I disagree with that. When I do that.
For those people that don't know, Brad loves to tell me exactly what he's going to do right before he hits the ball, just so that he can, I'm not just, you didn't mean to do that. Me, I keep my mouth shut because I have no idea what the ball is going to do. And if it does something, be like, it's great when it does what you were supposed to do. But no, mine would just be like, just being impersonal.
Like your boy in Florida.
Like I would say,
I know.
No, North Carolina. I would say like being like, just if you're going to go play golf with people, like you can't be an introvert, and you're not an introvert really. Like you're more introverted than I am.
I'm more of an introvert in bigger crowds than I am when it's one-on-one.
But at the same time, you got to be willing to talk. You got to be willing to like shoot this stuff. You got to be able to like throw some attaboys or joke around a little bit and have fun with it. I'm not talking like high fiving and chest bumping after every single putt made, but just be like, if you're in a foursome and you don't know anybody there, you're almost like obligated to just jump in and join in the fun and have that type of atmosphere there. So if you're a vibe killer, yeah, that's like my number one thing where I can't get this round done quick enough if this guy is just mute and doesn't want to talk to me.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say I'm actually beyond, I've been told I'm pretty positive to others. Like I said, dude, golf is so hard. Like, it's a very difficult game. I don't like when people get frustrated. You should compliment their good shots. And man, you just missed that one type thing. But then got to know when to be quiet as well, too. You don't want to piss off the crowd.
Yeah, you don't want to just miss that one. When I miss a 4-footer for win number at major number 6 tomorrow.
But what is the line, friends don't say anything when you hit a bad shot, really good friends compliment you on a bad shot?
Yeah, man, basically.
Type things.
Man,
I think we've complimented each other quite a few times on some of our wayward shots.
But this is what's great, is that we are returning tomorrow to Blue Ridge Shadows to possibly and maybe hopefully, depending on what the match is sat at right then, a return of the most beautiful club snap I've ever seen in my life.
Yep. Yep. And might still be there.
Tell you, I might look in the bushes when we're there. If they haven't been cut down, I might just take a peek and get myself a new 3-hybrid or 3-wood or whatever it was.
It would have been a 3-wood. I can't tell you what 3-wood it was. I honestly don't remember.
I think it was shaft. If I have a shaft.
Could have been. I had a lot of X2 shafts back in the day. I liked that shaft a lot. My driver was that shaft.
Didn't like it. Didn't like it much that day.
Not that day.
Not that day.
But yeah, for those who don't realize, it is the eve of our final major. Major number 6 when it comes down to our World Series of Golf. Our World Series is sitting at a 5-1 lead. I have been very fortunate, played very well on our head-to-head competitions. And Gray was over our 10 weeks, was it? 10-week season, Gray was able to take that season, which, you know, more and more I think about it, it probably could have been worth more than 1 point, but...
Yeah, well, whatever.
It's something to learn about next year as we move forward. But we have our final major tomorrow, and we are playing tomorrow at Blue Ridge Shadows, which is one of the top, I believe it's ranked number 13 in the state of Virginia. We have played it half a dozen times in the past. It's a beautiful golf course out in Front Royal, which is a little bit of a hike for us, but a little bit more affordable out there.
This one you don't have to drive on back roads for, so I won't have bridge closings or anything.
No, should be good on that. But it is a very tough golf course. When I replay a lot of shots in my head, not the shot where I did a club, a wood, made of wood. I found its home as I threw it into the trees. But a lot of tough golf shots to come tomorrow. But final major of the year, as we're coming to an end of our golf season. We probably got maybe 2 weeks really left. The time changes next week. Maybe a couple weekend rounds, but we'll get back on the mic and talk about those. But what do you think, Greg? How are you feeling going into tomorrow?
I'm actually feeling good. I'm lax. Took an ice bath today. I'm planning on pulling a Tiger Woods tomorrow morning and waking up at 4:45 and going and getting a workout in, so that way Laura can still go to her workout. I am then going to drop a car off to get inspected, then drop both kids off at preschool and daycare. Then I'm going to go pick up a different car from my in-law's house. And then I'm going to focus on getting there relatively about 45 minutes ahead of time, so that I can actually balls.
Can I hold you to that 45 minute mark?
I mean, I'm depending on traffic. I mean, if I leave at 9:53, I should be there. I should be there by 10:40, and that will give me roughly about 45 to 50 minutes of range time.
Okay.
The range isn't that great, but
it's a little bit of a weird range. Range is for warming up, not for honing in our golf skills. The 25 balls you hit aren't going to change your golf.
Never know. Maybe I just go through a solid jumbo bucket there and just
jumbo bucket. Pound it for about an hour and a half.
Exactly. Just really loosen up and get the mechanisms firing.
Yeah, I'm not that far off. I feel fine. I don't feel like my game is at its peak. I've had more up and down rounds as of late. I think I had one of my worst rounds last week, but been able to put some solid swings together in the last 2 days.
I may or may not put a fifth of Fireball on your side of the cart.
Oh, please do. It just, when it hits your lips, right?
It is solid.
That feeling.
That's the only gamesmanship I can do. The only thing it will be is maybe it may cost you a stroke or two, but at least it'll make your mouth
be a lot
run
more
it out. 9 million miles an hour.
I'll be definitely trying to drive some of them short holes that and see how far I can hit the ball. But yeah, I've been actually working on some swing, I wouldn't say changes, just some swing thoughts in the last 2 days, and haven't hit it bad. Hopefully it can carry them a little bit. My big thing is to try to keep the ball in front of me, keep it in play, whatever happens, move on to the next holes. I could roll in birdies just as well as I can miss bogey putts. We'll see how it goes. I think you have a 12 shot lead coming in, which is pretty much where we've been all year.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think maybe 2 weeks, may have been a little bit more than that, but for the most part, it's been right around there. Obviously, whoever wins got to put a good number up there. It's not just going to be handed to us by any means. It's gettable, but I think it's gettable more on the front than it is the back. The back is more of a survival mode. There's a couple very tough tee shots.
There's risk reward holes there.
Some pretty tough tee shots, especially starting off the back. But looking forward to it. This is supposed to be one of our shorter episodes. It went a little bit longer, but not a big issue. I think the weather is supposed to be really nice.
Yeah, man.
No issues.
I'm wearing shorts tomorrow.
Yeah, I have shorts laid out. I was going to clean my clubs, but then I decided I was not going to clean them.
I have not cleaned my clubs either.
No, I keep them clean throughout, so it's not like they're hurty by any
means.
No,
mine are pretty bad. Mine got 3 rounds on them. But the grooves have been cleaned, but they're just not sparkling.
I switched my head covers around because...
Did you bring out the University of Florida ones again?
Furman University? Yeah. Farum University.
Okay. I don't think it's Farum, actually.
We'll stick with it to the university. But I did not. But they might. I have them right here, so I might. I put my originals back on there. I don't know why. I just did. Just wanted a change. But yeah, definitely looking forward to it. Appreciate everybody listening. Like we said, we know this was a little bit longer than normal. Hope you had fun learning a little bit about my boy Greg and I as we are continuing our journey of getting better at golf, trying to look good, trying to feel good, trying to play good. Hopefully we go out and we both play unbelievable tomorrow. Maybe one a little bit more than the other. Just because I think we both want to win.
What are we going to do if we tie?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Fair enough. Go back to number one.
We've done that a couple times.
We've done it plenty of times there. Nobody's watching.
Nobody's watching. Maybe we hit another golf course on the way home type thing. I don't know.
Could. Five boxes on the way home.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But no, I appreciate everybody talking to us or listening to us talk as we got through our 18 holes, 18 questions. We did not have a shot of whiskey on every question. Maybe that's something we try to do in the future. Maybe not whiskey, maybe Fireball, since that is something we both enjoy.
I like it.
That could be a whole nother show. Could get really out of hand really quickly. But we'll figure that out. And we'll talk, check into us, make sure to follow us along on our social media accounts. We'll be giving updates as our final major comes down tomorrow. We'll hope we play well. Greg, you got anything else?
No, sir. Sleep tight.
I appreciate everybody listening.
Tomorrow your reign ends.
I appreciate everybody listening. Fight hard and make sure to check us out at the 9th Green at 9. Talk to you later.